Leaving the chapel about a week ago, several of us commented on how confusing the end of the church year and its transition into Advent is. After all, we've heard several weeks of sermons about the end of the world and Christ's impending return, culminating in the Sunday of the Fulfillment. But then the next weekend, it starts all over again. We're thrust into texts promising the return of Christ and his coming, both in his incarnation and his imminent return. Haven't we just heard this? We ask ourselves. Yes, we have. And we will hear it again and again and again. Now we find ourselves closing in on the end of Advent. Some of you will be able to appreciate rose pyramids this weekend. That's a nice word for pink. Today our Advent reflections feature the words of our Lord, which tell us once again of the things to come as our world spins towards its divinely appointed conclusion. It seems most appropriate for a dark text like this to be appointed for dark days like these. The days grow shorter. Summer seems a vague memory on a depressing day like today. You don't have to read about the end of the world in the Bible. You just look around. We just sang, "O morning star, O radiant dawn, when will we sing your morning song? Come, Son of God, without your light, we grope in dread and gloom of night." Today fully characterizes that reality. Today's gospel describes a number of other realities that, taken as a whole, describe well our present gloomy circumstances. Wars, political chaos, earthquakes, famine. And as bad as these things are, Jesus says, it's going to get worse. Not only will corporate disasters come upon the world, personal catastrophes will strike the disciples. They will find themselves in a variety of difficult circumstances. Courts, legal troubles, hated by family and friends, betrayed by their own flesh and blood. The summation? And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. The disciples would be despised because they bore the divine name. No doubt the disciples were distraught by such words, especially Jesus' statement that many will come in my name saying, "I am." No doubt when you heard these words, you began to think to yourself, now who would that be? Is it the Pope? Saddam Hussein? Bill Gates? Perhaps some mysterious computer used by the BCS to allow Oklahoma into the championship game. Who is it? History shows us that many have tried to pass themselves off as Christ. From Muhammad in the 7th century to Mother Ann Lee of the Shakers in the 18th, and plenty of others besides, there have always been those who claimed to supplant Christ. But there is more to it than just that. Jesus says here that many will come saying, "Ego eimi," I am. The typical translation, we just heard it, of "I am he," dilutes the force of Christ's words, "I am." The point is that others arise claiming the name of God, declaring that they themselves are I am. Those others include the false prophets of history, no question about that, but they also included you. For as one born outside God's kingdom, you claimed for yourself the title of I am. By thoughts, words, and deeds, we all have demanded that title for ourselves and have displaced Christ, the result of which is our judgment. Again, as we just sang, sin's dreadful doom upon us lies. Grim death looms fierce before our eyes. There is the present reality. But the hymn continues, O come, lead us with mighty hand from exile to our promised land. There everything changes. For we have been led from exile into God's promised land through the Jordan of holy baptism. In baptism, Christ freely placed the name, his name, upon us. Where we had grasped and coveted that name for ourselves, Christ graciously names us as his own. He delivers us from the catastrophe of our sinfulness. He buries us and then raises us with him. So now the name of the crucified is our own. Again, as we sang, O Savior, rend the heavens wide. Come down with mighty stride. Unlock the gates, the doors break down. Unbar the way to heaven's crown. Christ has come down. I am has unbarred the way. You see, the one whose name is the cause of strife among nations, peoples, and families is not a political figure like Cyrus the Persian or Saddam Hussein. Standing at the center of history is I am. And at the center of I am is the cross occupied by Christ. Here I am reveals himself as the righteous one, the Holy One of God, the Holy One of Israel, the one enthroned upon the cherubim, the one carried through the heavens by the seraphim. In the crucified one dwells all the Godhead bodily, and in him what is despised and earthly becomes majestic and heavenly. That which repulses the human mind becomes the means by which God draws all men to himself. The world sees shame and destruction. We see the very glory of God as God gives himself for the salvation of the world. I am is on the cross, and I am is for you. You who will be pastors, that is the word the Holy Spirit will give to you, to speak to a world in need. The temptations for the disciples, the temptation for you, will be to speak about yourselves or to speak of a Christ of your own construction, one more palatable to the human mind. The danger for us is to make human words God's words instead of his words ours. Any definition of I am that is not centered in the cross is fraudulent. Confusing the vocabulary of faith with the language of altar calls, raptures, or absurdities like we need to evangelize our covenant children. All of this draws the focus away from I am. Such language is not his language. His words, your words, are the cross. His name applied to us. The Son of Man will give his life as a ransom for many. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Take, eat, take, drink. This is the true body and blood of Christ given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. These are the words that he gives you, his servant, to speak. These are the words that place and retain the name of I am on you and on the people he will commit to your care. It is a good thing to reflect on such things this Advent and to sing them as well. And so we conclude with the words of another hymn, Hillers, O Son of God, We Wait for Thee, which says, O Son of God, we wait for thee in love for thine appearing. We know thou sittest on thy throne, and we, thy name, are bearing. Who trust in thee may joyful be, and see thee, Lord, descending, to bring us bliss unending. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.